that's the question we want to ask ourselves. Are we growing in the fruit of the Spirit? And then when we look, turn our attention to Matthew 8:14. Wait, hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself. So what's the key to becoming more like Jesus? What's our key to... Let's look at Romans 12:2. Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect." Once again, we get back to that hearing the shepherd. What's his will? And it's difficult because we have our own will and our own desires, right? And I think as a congregation right now, we're really trying to discern what is God's will, because if you're anything like me, my own will comes in. And then the other piece is we have to be concerned about becoming conformed to this world. As we analyze and try to figure out what God wants, we have to be careful because the world will come in very convincingly. And I heard a pastor recently talking about in the garden, you know, Satan was able to convince Eve that it made most sense to go against God's will. He deceived her into thinking that it made more sense to go against God's will. It made perfect sense. As he described it, and as she looked at it and became convinced, wow, that it is does look good to the taste. It does look good. And maybe God didn't really mean that. Maybe God has a reason he wants to keep me from that. And at the end, she was deceived into thinking that following Satan in the way of this world made more sense than following God. And if we're not careful, the same thing can happen. That's why Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to be transformed so that we can test and discern what is the will of God. Because the world will come at us with convincing arguments to go against the will of God, where it only makes complete sense to do the exact opposite of what God wants. But that's the world. We have to be careful. We don't let that creep in as we seek his face. And, you know, I heard another example. There was two missionaries that felt like God called them. There's this island. I'm getting the details a little bit fuzzy, but there's an island where I think this guy had slave labor. And these two missionaries sold themselves into slavery to go try to reach this island. And everyone around them told them they were being completely foolish. Because by the world standards, that's insanity. But if the shepherd is calling them to reach his sheep, everything else would be sanity. So that's why it's so important that we renew our mind, that we hear the voice of God, because the voice of the world will absolutely be convincing that going against the will of God is the only way that makes sense. Let's look at Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, see at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So how do we renew our mind? We set it on things above, right? How do we do that? The Word, right? We got to be in the Word. We've got to know the Word. Because God's ways aren't like the world. God doesn't operate like the world. And honestly, too many times we let the world dictate how the church should function. We let the world dictate how we should behave, because it'll convince us that disobedience to God is what's wise and makes common sense. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that don't make sense. So we have to seek the mind of Christ through his word. We have to focus our hearts and our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. We renew our mind by being in the word. So as we become more and more like Jesus, we'll just naturally live more for Jesus in 2026. So what's that look like? Let's look at John 14. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. Greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus is telling us, I'm going to the Father. And because I'm going to the Father, he's going to give us the power to do in his name what he asks us to do for him. And it says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. This isn't saying just tack his name at the end of our prayer. What he's saying here is anything representing him. You know, that's the key. Some people get in a ditch in Christianity where it's like, I can claim and name whatever I want if I, because I have Jesus, he'll do anything I want him to do. And if you listen carefully, you quickly see that their focus is on themselves. The prayers are about what they want. And the key here is you're doing it as a representation of Jesus. And if we're listening to Jesus, if we're saying, speak, Lord, your servant's listening, we're going to be asking for what he wants to be done, not what we want to be done. So let's look a little bit closer at what Jesus did. And I'm going to take one example, but if you go through and read the Gospels, it's a pretty good pattern of how Jesus operated. And let's look back at Luke 7 with me. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town named Nain. His disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bier stood still. And he said, young man, I've said to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. So what did Jesus do? Let's look back at verse 13 particularly. And when the Lord saw her, so the first thing he did is he saw a woman in need. He saw the marginalized. You realize like what a big deal this is. In our culture, we might miss this. She was a widow with one son. So the son would have been the one who took care of her, who protected her, and he just died. So she would have been marginalized and abandoned. And what did Jesus saw her? Saw her in her point of need. Saw her in want. So first he saw her. Then what did he do? It says that Jesus had compassion on her. You know, that's one of the things I just love about Jesus. That's a word that I've been really gravitating toward as I read the Gospels, is how much compassion he had on people. So first he saw her in her need, then he had compassion. Then finally, what did he do? Let's look at verses 14 and 15. Jesus came up and touched the bier, and the bier stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up, began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Jesus acted. He saw the need, he had compassion, and he acted within his ability. He raised him from the dead. You know, I want to be challenged in 2026 to see how God wants me to act. I think too many times we limit God to the standards of the world. And we see little power in the church in America because I think we've given in to the world and common sense and logic instead of giving God the ability and the power to move amongst us. Where's our faith? You know, I read earlier where Jesus was rebuking these towns where he did many miracles and there was no repentance. You know, we're given that same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Let's look at Mark 16 to see what Jesus said about what he was leaving us. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. God tells us if we believe in Him, we're going to see supernatural things happen. Why don't we see? Why do we not have faith? I mean, I think one of the things you see in American culture, there's a movement that takes us in a false direction. It's not truly the work of the Spirit. And if you really look at it, it sure looks like they're trying to get themselves rich. But I love how Dr. Rob Reamer says, you know, we as humans, we see misuse and we respond with disuse. So it's being misused, so we just distance ourselves from it. And that's not the proper response. The proper response is correct use. And the correct use is allowing the Holy Spirit to move and act when He wants to. Not on our timetable. We have to believe. We have to believe. The same God that rose Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit's at work within us. And He tells us you'll see it at work within you, in your community, if you believe. You know, every time I read this about, you know, pick up serpents, I just think of whenever Paul, if you remember, he was on his way to Rome, and they were shipwrecked, and they were gathering wood for a fire, and a snake came out and bit Paul, and all the Romans and the crew of the ship were like, wow, this guy was evil. Look, the gods are exacting revenge on him. And they were waiting for him to die. And he didn't die. And it spoke to the power of his God. He didn't die because God had a purpose. God had a plan. He already knew he was going to stand before Rome. So he had faith and he trusted in the Lord. And God wants to still do miracles. He still works miraculously in people's lives. He still wants to set the captives free. You know, first, if we look at verse 16, he started out with, whoever believes and baptized will be saved. It starts with salvation. He wants us to see the lost redeemed. He wants to see, you know, his lost sheep found. He wants us to preach the gospel. That's our number one goal, is to preach the good news. And a revelation that happened to me recently was, you know, I grew up in the church, and one of the rules was you had to share your faith. And I always felt a little bit inadequate because I never really figured out how. You know, I had a couple of the trainings, and it's like, you know, I thought my goal was to sit down across from somebody who's an atheist and get them to Jesus in 10 minutes. And what I came to realize is that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be a witness. I'm called to tell what God did for me, what Jesus did in my life. It's not my job to get people saved. It's only by the power of God. He's the only one that removes the blinders. He's the only one that takes the dead to life. And I'm called to be a witness, to tell what God has done for me, the miraculous things He's done in my life. So what's the key to this last goal? Let's look at Ezekiel 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. From all your idols I'll cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh, give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. The Holy Spirit's the key. Right here's the promise that God gave. And that's what Jesus said. I'm leaving now so I can send my comforter to you, my spirit, the one to lead you and guide you. I hope you see the difference between, here's a book full of rules, here's everything you've got to do to try and strive to be better, instead of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, come to me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, because He's going to give you His Spirit to empower you. If you only pray a prayer of surrender. Lord, wake up each morning in 2026 saying, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak. Speak to me. Your servant is listening. Our shepherd wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. Will you pray in faith with me for more of the Holy Spirit manifested in your life in 2026? Will we strive to have more listening in prayer? And that's one thing that I never understood. Is, you know, we should be listening more in prayer than we talk. You know, intercession is a good thing. That's what we pray each Sunday morning. But there needs to be a time for listening. What's the Lord want us to do? Who does He want us to minister to today? We're praying for divine appointments. Like, Ron Hutchcraft said, you know, give me an opportunity, open their hearts, give me an open door, and open my mouth. Will we pray this? Will we seek to be used more by him in 2026? Look at me at Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy within the inhabitants of the land. There's no faithfulness or steadfast love, no knowledge of God in the land. They're swearing, lying, murdering, stealing, committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish. And also beasts of the field and birds of the heavens, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet no one contend, let no one accurse. For with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day. The prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of God, I will also forget your children. May this not be so among us. You know, as we looked at this, and I can't help but when I hear about how God's describing the land, is that not America? Is it not overwhelming with swearing, lying, murdering, stealing, committing adultery, breaking all bounds, bloodshed follows bloodshed? Turn on the news. And in this passage, we are the priests. What's the priest's job? The priest is to be an intermediary between the people and God. We're called to show people the way, show them the light, show them there is a different path. And in this passage, God's condemning his priests because they stumbled and they did not lead their people. Because God said his people were destroyed for lack of knowledge because they rejected knowledge. Are we going to reject knowledge? Are we going to reject the truth? Or are we going to strive to follow Jesus, to have him empower us to be his priest? Because Jesus said that we are now a royal priesthood. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is the hope we have. He's calling us right now, calling us this morning to seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Will you join me in 2026? Will you spend more time with Jesus in prayer? Will you make a commitment every day, wherever you're at, to just be in prayer? Will you listen for his voice? He's a good shepherd. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Do you want to hear his voice? Do you want to obey? Are you going to become more like Jesus? In the Word. Read the Word. Study the Word. If you're not reading it through every year now, just start with the New Testament. Read the New Testament through this year. And finally, you're going to live more like Jesus. You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're going to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite passages where, you know, God says that we're wicked. I'm wicked. You know, Thursday I gave some good gifts, I think, to my children. But God said that I'm wicked and I do that. How much more will he give? How much better will he give of the Holy Spirit if we ask? So we ask. Will you seek the Lord's face in 2026 with me? Will you spend more time in prayer? Will you strive to become more like Jesus by renewing your mind in the Word? And will you pray for more of the Holy Spirit? He promised he'll give if you ask. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning to be in your Word, be in your presence. You're such a good, good Father. And Lord, we know that you will lead and guide us if we ask. You will provide for us. You want to use us. Just like J.C. Ryle said in our point to ponder, Lord, we desire to be a church who not only wants to just reach heaven ourselves, but to take others with us. Lord, give us eyes for the marginalized. Help us to be like Jesus. There's a devotional by Paul Miller where he said, like, help us be like Jesus, where he saw the need, saw the marginalized. May we slow down. In our culture, we're so busy, it's hard to just slow down and see those in need, see the marginalized. May we have compassion on them. Lord, if we really realize how much we've been forgiven, we'll have far more compassion on the lost, those who are deceived. Finally, will we act and the power of your Holy Spirit in what you want to do in their lives. We know that you'll speak to us, you'll lead us if we obey. Help us to be filled more with your Spirit in 2026. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, our closing song.